morning, let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your Spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this morning. And we declare and decree at the end of today's meeting as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Well, we've been dealing with the doctrine of praise and worship. What we've done with this series is to try to explain what exactly is praise and what exactly is what? Worship. Now, we have come to understand from scriptures that worship does not refer to songs that are slow. Are we together? Right? You know, when the Bible uses the word worship, it's not speaking about a song that has a slow pace. You know, in our world today, what we distinguish as worship as praise is worship is a slow song like "Thou art worthy," right? "You are the pillar that holds," you know that song? "Holds my life, Master Jesus." So once you finish that one, now what happened? Hallelujah! Then we're going to praise, right? Tutu! Tutu! You know, right? "We lift our hands in the sanctuary, sanctuary, sanctuary." Then, when you finish sanctuary, sanctuary, what happened? You now say, you now, "Holy are you, Lord, all creation." Yeah, so what have you done? Worship, praise, worship. Yeah, and that's what we think is what the Bible teaches about praise and worship. But we've got to understand that when worship is addressed in scriptures, more often than not, you have to think about a sacrifice, an offering. Right, so you come to worship, they would come to worship in scriptures with an offering. Now, when we come to worship, we come worshiping, accepting that what which has been offered, which is the body of Christ, is what? Perfect. Are we together? So what do we now do? We now sing about it. You see, when we sing about it, what are we doing? We are praising. Right? To praise would mean to speak well or to sing well about that which has been done. Right? So you see what happened this morning? What did we do this morning? We had a test drive. Right? You know when you want to buy a car, you first go to the showroom, then what, pick a car, then do a test drive around it. Right? To see, okay, this is good. Yeah? So we had a test drive this morning before we are going into the world this morning. But we saw that every song that was sung was a praise song. Right? Both the one that was fast, the one that was slow, they were all praise songs. What were they really paying attention to? They were paying attention to that which God has done. Are we together? That which God has done that is acceptable, that is accepted. Are we together? So when you say, "I'm a man that is full of the Spirit," what are you saying? You are saying that upon account of the work of the resurrection, God's Spirit now dwells here. What have you done? You've praised. Are we together? When you say, "I'm a supernatural man," what are you saying? You are saying that upon account of the resurrection, you've ceased from being a natural man to God, and you are now a supernatural man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what do you do about that? You see, you rejoice about that. You are glad about that. You give expression to that. Why? You see, that is what God, that is that which God has done that is what? Marvelous. Are we together? Now, go quickly to me, with me to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. I think Psalm 118. Look at verse 1. Look at verse 17. "All praise the Lord." Psalm 117, rather. Verse 1. It says, "All praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great towards us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." Is that a praise song? Yes. "His merciful kindness is great towards us." So can we sing a psalm about his merciful kindness? Oh, yes. When we sing a psalm about his merciful kindness, what have we done? We've praised, right? So his merciful kindness has been demonstrated to us, through us, or to us rather, by or through the offering of his blood, offering of himself, offering of his son. Yeah? So if you go all the way to chapter 118, verse 21, He says, verse 21, Psalm 118, verse 21, he says, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and I become my salvation. Right? So what is he really referring to from verse 21? I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and thou hast become my salvation. What's the next line in verse 22? The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. Are we together? Right? The stone which the builder refused has become the headstone of the corner. Now, you see, what you see might sound to you as something which needs to be done. Yeah, so you cannot have the perspective of that will be prophetic about what Christ will do. Now, if you go all the way to Acts chapter 4, verse 9, Acts 4, 9, we're going back to Psalm 118. So you can put your hands there, or you go back very quickly where we want to go there. So if you go to some Acts chapter 4, verse 9, Acts chapter 4, verse 9. Oh, please come look at verse 8. Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Are you there? Yeah. Right? So Acts 4, 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined... Right? If we this day be examined, if you look at verse 8 very well, what does it say about Peter? Filled with the Holy Ghost. What have I taught you about filled with the Holy Ghost? When someone is filled with the Holy Ghost, you will see an expression. Are we together? Right? Look at Acts 2. Acts 2, verse 4. Acts 2, verse 4. And they were all what? Are you there? Acts 2, 4. Are you there? And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Right? So Acts 2 says they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Acts 4 says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers. So the language Peter used to speak would have been a language they understood. Yet, because of what he was doing, you can call it being filled with the Holy Ghost. Because it was by the Spirit that he spoke. Are we together? So you see, for every single person that came here today, what happened to them? They were filled with the Holy Ghost. What does that mean? It means that they allowed an expression. You know, you hear people teach it differently. Some people teach it as the Spirit within and the Spirit upon. Are we together? And if you're not careful to explain what that really means, that is what has made a lot of believers not be able to communicate the things of the Spirit. Why? Because they've told you that you've received the Spirit within, but you have to wait for the Spirit upon. Are we together? Mm-hmm. So you meet a believer who doesn't speak in tongues, and you say, why don't you speak in tongues? You say, the Holy Spirit has not yet, I'm waiting for the Holy Spirit to what? Wind me. You know, do you know that generator called Lister generator? So the generator that you have to why, then do boom, then you're off again. You know, there's a gen that I grew up knowing. It's called I Pass My Neighbor. Do that gen? You know the gen, I Pass My Neighbor. You know that gen? Yeah? Very small, loud tiger gen. Yeah? When you put on that generator here, what happens? You hear it at KFC. Yeah? Is that loud? I don't say have power. It's only Bobby can power. Are we together? Don't be a tiger generator. Are we together? See, for what you have on your inside, yeah, it might not be loud to another, but you have a lot on your inside. You see, the power of God dwells in you. And because the power of God dwells in you, you can do the things of the Spirit. Do you understand that? Right? So a lot of believers are waiting for us to tell you know, just talk in tongues a little now, you know, it's just something. No. It's you need to be taught that you have tongues. Bible says in Mark chapter 16, right? It says, go into the world and preach the gospel. It says, he that believes and is baptized is saved. And it says, this sign shall follow them. This sign shall follow them. You see, the signs that follow a man that is a believer is a sign that follows every man as a believer. So if one man on earth can speak in tongues, every other man on earth can speak in tongues. As long as one believer can flow in that Spirit. As long as one believer can see in the Spirit, every believer can see in the Spirit, right? As long as one man can cast out devils. You see, casting out of devils is not for a select few. Casting out of devils is for every believer. As long as you are a believer, you are full of power. You have the authority, right? You have the authority to cast out devils. You have the authority, and they shall recover. Do you understand? See, whose report do you want to believe? You believe the report of the Lord, right? If God says you will lay hands on the sick and they will recover, what do you do? In obedience, I will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So when you see a sick person, right? You know we're going for evangelism next week. So when you see a sick person on the road, don't be saying, this one is too big. But no, there is no... See, if God can raise man from the dead, there is nothing that is impossible when it comes to the miraculous. Are we together? If God can raise man, the height of the sickness a man can experience is death. You see, and God gave himself to be killed by men, and God rose Christ up on the third day, as said by the prophets over through the decades, decades and decades. So if Jesus is alive forever, by that resurrection he lives in you, what now happens? You are alive unto God. So if God, who is your father, says you can raise the dead, you can raise the dead. So raising of the dead is not for a select few. See, why is it a select few that supposedly raise the dead only? It is because only a select few practice it. Did you get that? Yeah? Why do you think that it's only a select few that heal the sick? It is because only a select few practice it. Look at it this way. If you don't pray for five people, right, you cannot have a testimony of five people getting healed. Did you get that? Right? If you pray for only one person, the cap is one person gets healed. Right? So when you see somebody who is praying for hundreds of people and thousands of people and they're getting healed, it's not because there is something really special. It's they master the craft of getting the sick healed. Are we together? They've listened to the instruction and the comfort that God's word gives. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So what happens when I see a sick person? What do? I lay hands on the sick. What am I not doing? I'm not laying hands on the sick because I feel like I want to show power or because I feel like I want to lay hands. I'm laying hands on the sick because God has said they will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So what do I need to do? I just speak in tongues a little. Oh, bro, shake. So my speaking in tongues is not to generate power. My speaking in tongues can be to remind myself that because God lives in me and I can talk in tongues, it means I can heal the sick. Are we together? You see, when you lay hands on the sick, what is the assurance God gives you? They shall recover. So what should you not say? So when you lay down on the sick, today I lay down on 10 of them, they not recover. No, that's not what you say. So because that is the report that eyes of man is seeing. What is that which God has said? You can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Acts 10:38, the Bible says how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth who went about doing good. Are we together? What is the good he was doing? The good he was doing is an example of the good we can do. Well, so Acts 4 says they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 2. Then Acts 4 says Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, ye rulers of and people of and elders of Israel. Verse 9. If will this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole? Verse 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised up from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Now look at verse 11. Let's read verse 11 together. 1, 2, 3, go. This is the stone which this was set at naught of ye builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there what? Salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men, whereby we must be saved. Right? So the stone which the builder rejected is a story about salvation. Look at that now. That's like the next thing it tells you in verse 12 is, neither is there salvation in any other. So the stone which the builder rejected is not your family members that say nothing good will come out from you. No, that's not what the Bible is teaching there. Right? You know, my family members say, I will go to the city and I will not make it in the city, or I'll go to the village, I'll not make it in the village, I'll go in the town. So you see, when you now make it small, you now go back and say, you see, I am that stone that was rejected. I'm not the one that is sharing money. I'm not the one. No, that's not what the Bible is teaching. The stone the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone, is a narrative about salvation. That's why he says, look at verse 9 again. Verse 9, if we this day examine the good deed done to the impotent man by which he was made whole, verse 10, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, by the name of Jesus Christ, whom ye what? Crucified. So what is Jesus Christ whom ye crucified? Another way to say it is what? The stone which the builder rejected. Are we together? Yeah. So Jesus Christ being crucified means he is the stone that the builder rejected. What did God do with that stone? He has made that stone the chief cornerstone. How did he do that? Look at what he says in verse 10. Whom God raised from the dead. So how else can you say God raised from the dead? It is God converted the stone that was rejected to become the chief cornerstone. So to become the chief cornerstone is to what? Is to say what? God raised him from the dead. So who crucified Jesus? Man. Actions on Jesus, there are only two actions on Jesus. Crucifixion and resurrection. God did not partake in the two. Man did not partake in the two. Man partook in one. God partook in one. Man partook in the crucifixion. God partook in the resurrection. Man partook in the crucifixion. Man did not partake in the resurrection. Yeah? So man will crucify. God will step in and raise up. You say, when God rose him up, you say, that is the stone which men rejected. How did men reject? By crucifying. What has God done? He has raised him up from the dead. The Bible now says there's no salvation in any other. So, the go back to Psalm 118. So, Psalm 118 will tell you, the stone which the builder rejected. So, Peter in Acts 4 was teaching from Psalm 118. Is that not true?
Yeah.
Peter in Acts 4 was teaching from Psalm 118. So he says, the stone which the builder rejected, like I said, the stone which the builder rejected is not what you used to say, you know, I told you to your people. Now, he says, the stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the what? Corner. Let's read verse 23 together. 1, 2, 3, go. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Oh, hold on. Who partook in the crucifixion? Man. Who partook in the resurrection?
God.
What did God do? He raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Is that the Lord's doing?
Yeah.
So what is the Lord's doing? He raised Jesus from the dead. So that thing which the Lord did is what is marvelous. Did you get it? So what is that which is marvelous? That which God did, which is the resurrection, is what is marvelous in our eyes. So that which is marvelous in our eyes by Psalm 118, Psalm Acts, from Acts 2, is not you bought a new car. It's not you bought a new suit. It's not you bought a new jacket. It is that which was, you know, that which was done by God in the resurrection. Hallelujah. So is God still working in us and through us? Yes. But the Bible work of God that is marvelous in our eyes, according to Psalm 118, is the what? The resurrection. So the stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is what? Marvelous in our eyes. What is the next thing? This is the day which the Lord has made. We will what? Rejoice and be glad in it. Remember that song? So I rejoice. So I am glad because what? He died and rose again. That's not the tune. You get it? Have remixed that song for her. Are we together? So you rejoice and you are glad in the fact that he died and rose again. So the fact that he died and rose again, the resurrection is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. So can we sing a song about the marvelous work of our Savior? Yes. What should it conclude at? You see, when you sing about the marvelous work of our favor, it really shouldn't be, I got a job, I got a car. Because I can tell you for free, not every time you desire a car, you will get it. Okay, let me say it differently before you come and stone me. Well, not every Christian will desire anything or everything and get everything they desire. Do you understand? Yeah, there are people who have been desiring for 20 years. No mockery. Yeah, but you must understand that in your desire, is it wrong to desire? No. I want it. Who doesn't want a better car? Who doesn't want a better job? Who doesn't want, everybody wants something better. But in that desire, we don't derive our joy from those things being done or not done. Right? So, you don't wake up on Monday and the reason you are rejoicing and excited is because you got a job. You know why that should not be the reason? It is because a day will come, they can say they want to what? Downsize. Downsize is a figurative way of saying we want to sack some people. Right? You see, and when you see a man that can be sacked in the company, that should be a type and shadow to you. Understand? If it can be done, it can be done. And so you can say, I preserve myself by the power of the Holy Ghost.
But if it can be done, it means that what I'm just saying is that people come to companies that go. You see, they say soldiers come to the barracks, but the barracks remain. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They come and they go, but the barracks remain. And so your job you get, it doesn't have eternal safety. Don't let them say we will take care of our staff. We give them pension. We match up their pension. It's your job. You're happy. You're going there. As long as they can sack one human, it means that you don't have eternal job. Mm-hmm. But you have an eternal life that whether you get a job, you have it.
Yeah.
Whether you lose a job, you have it. Yeah. You have that which is the Lord's doing. Yeah. Let it always be marvelous. Yeah. Pay attention to it always. Always remind yourself. That which I have received, that which God has done is forever. So the psalmist will say, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will not rejoice and be glad. And I've taught you over time, when he says this is the day, what he's saying really is not about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Are we together? This is the day the Lord has made. It's not about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. The day really is about a dispensation, a time, a season. So we're in that day. Are we together? Look at Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Are you there? Colossians 3:16. Now it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Teaching, you see, admonishing. Is that your Bible? Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with what? Grace in your heart to the Lord. Did we do that today? Yeah, did you do that today? Right? You see, for every song that was sung today, we can pick every one of them and teach with the songs. Are we together? For every song that was sung today, we can teach, you can pick any one of them and teach with it. Yeah? So what is singing spiritual songs? What are spiritual songs and psalms? It really just them into songs. Are we together? So we can sing a song about what. How marvelous is that which God has done in Christ, right? Our eyes behold the marvelous work of his, you know, of his resurrection. Our eyes see that which he has done, and we see ourselves in identification with that which he has done. That's a psalm. Amen? That's a psalm. So, now, what we've done with this series is we've tried to explain from scriptures, and Paul will say in 1 Timothy that you ought to know how to behave yourself. All together, when you come to the church. So, the church is not a place where we just behave anyhow we think. The church is not a place where we go and look at the club and we see what they do in the club. And we, you know, some music ministers go to the club to go and get inspiration. Yeah? You meet a music minister at the club, so what I do, I'm just trying to sample, I'm trying to sample what we can do in the church to attract these people to church. You know, God needs their heart. God needs their heart. Eh? And you are going to the club to go out. You not see them outside the club. You not see people on the street. When you entered your car to go to the club, the distance, you not see a man being that were not in the club. Those were not the souls you're after. Yeah? You see, you go to the club and say, this is what people like. What do they like? People like when they, I wish to do something in Nigeria church before. And, you know, sometimes when I think about it, I'm like, how do they even think that was? You know, when you want to worship, everybody be off the light. Why are you laughing? You want to watch everybody just off the line. They now give you one studio light from the two sides. I don't ask somebody, I say, why do we really off the line? I know Brastali, I miss Brastali. Before you know it, what is the minister just taking my lift up? He has gone to the switch. He has just opened the curtain. I do, bah! And you know, like, you say, I ask somebody, why do we off the line? You say, you know, some people want to give reckless abandon. You see, why can't you be reckless abandon in the eyes of another? It is God. See, you know, you should be able to act crazy for God, and not be ashamed. He said, you know, want people to be able to just, you know, have their privacy when they worship. That's why you have a room. You have a house. Are we together? You see, when you come to the church, you know, one of the good things to do is to open your eyes. I hope you know. Because it's only when you open your eyes, you see that which is good and you covet. writing, if you come to church and everything you did close your eyes, you will not know that you will not know that people are actually praying aggressively. Yes, and you know that there's something called lifting up your hand. You just close your eyes and just be closing your eyes. You see, you will see that your pastor is in front. He says, glory! You see, what you see me do, why do you think members act like their pastor a lot of times? It's because they open their eyes to see an example. Are we together? You see, when you see me say, glory! You see me say, glory! You too. Some of you, when it's when I'm doing glory, you carry your eye away. I don't see it. I don't learn that one. I'll say, glory, rejoice! And some of you carry your eye away. You look at the world. What is here? What is here? Are we together? You see, the church is a theater where we see examples to follow. Right? So, I, as a pastor, I see an example in Christ Jesus. Right? Bible says he rejoiced in that moment. Right? And when he rejoiced, I see an example to follow. So, we're the local church to train ourselves. Yeah? So, look at it. You see, today, we saw ministers come out to sing. What should you do when your eyes are open? First of all, you had watched my body language when I gave a song. Do you understand? Yeah? Did you notice that when I gave a song, somebody else came and said, lift up your hands? Yeah? Because when I gave my song, I said, lift up your hands. Now we're together. When I said, glory, you see, why will you be able to give good songs, good sounds? You see an example in the church. So the church is a theory and practical field so that we can go and practice the word outside. Are we together? So the Bible says, let the word dwell richly in you. Timothy will say, you ought to know how to behave yourself when you come together. And I can never get tired of using these examples I always give. Right? I've been to church meetings where you see people of opposite, you know, genders, you know, creating circle and, you know, being very sexual with themselves in the name of praise and worship. Right? There's this particular song that people usually sing. It talks about, I will be following you and going, you know, song. I'll be following you and going, I'm chasing after you. You see, and you see two people of opposite sex. One is holding the waist of the other and they're following themselves. Is that not insane? You see another person's wife, or let's even say you're not even married. You see another human being that is of the opposite sex, and where you can hold is the waist. I will be following you. I'm going to follow you. That's insane. There's no apology for that. That's very insane, and it's the work of the pastor to correct that. That's silly. I went in a meeting. I saw people doing. I've always told you. Always pay me anytime I talk about it. You see people, boy and girls, they were doing cycle. That kind of who is in the garden, a little girl. And the first one went this, and that, went to one boy, and did like this, A lady went to a boy, and was just, that's silly. It's the work of the pastor to, and pastor, we see, and pastor, they become like, you don't see it, they lie. It's a lie, they see it. You come and sit in front, they give you five of life. You saw it, don't close your eyes. And that, even if you did not see it, you're supposed to open your eye. I can't imagine things going on behind my back and I say I did not see it. No, you saw it, close your eye. Do you understand? But Paul said there's a way we behave ourselves. See, there's a way when you come to church, you should know you are coming to church. There's an attitude you have. I never go late to any meeting. If for any reason I'm going late to a meeting, maybe 1 minute late, you see me running. Right? There's an attitude you have. You know, just some of us, we think service starts by 11. We think service starts by 11. No, by 10 o'clock, they are still. So people think that our praise and worship and prayer is like we're trying to wait for time to pass. So people can be coming. Do you understand? Like, let's just be singing. I've been in meetings where, because the auditorium is not filled up, the pastor will just allow the choir and say, just continue singing. I'm like, because you want to wait. And people, as well, they know, and that's why you see some pastors, very, very smart people, they now put the praise at the end. At the end of service, when you finish the word, well, let's praise. Are we together? Yet, what am I saying? You need to be able to know that when we come together, there's a way we behave ourselves. Now, over the last 2 weeks, let me summarize what I've been teaching. I will do a final teaching on Wednesday, and next week will be for questions, and we'll probably have another demonstration service next week as well. Now, we said
there are things that we do with our hands. We went through the scriptures and we saw that one of the consistent things that people do with their hands in reference and regard and worship was what? Lifting up their hands. Are we together? So when you are worshiping, when you are singing, right, learn that attitude of what? Lift up your hands. So when the minister says, lift up your hands, what do? You respond to that. Lift up your hands in adoration. Lift up your hands in submission. Lift up your hands in regard, in reference to God. Are we together? Now, one of the things again we saw as well is rejoicing. Look at Luke. Let's do a quick study here. Look at Matthew 5:12. You see, some people don't like the truth. You know, you know that an average person prefers to be lied to. Do you agree with that? Right? An average person prefers to be lied to. And you just say, don't be that person who you are happier when you are lied to. And being lied to also includes being told what you think you want to hear every time. Do you understand? So be that person who, let the truth is not always sweet. But the truth can save you from a lot. Right? So, if you look at Matthew 5, verse 12, it says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So Jesus is teaching about rejoicing. Look at Luke 10, verse 17. He teaches about rejoicing and he practices rejoicing. Now I'm going to show you what Jesus did. Luke 10, 17. Glory, glory, glory to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Now, Luke 10, 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Luke 10, 18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Verse 19, behold, I give unto you power to what? Tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemies, and nothing shall by what? Enemies hurt you. Look at verse 20, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. So, can a man rejoice when he cast out devils? Yes. What were they rejoicing about? That, oh, we were able to subject devils through your name. And Jesus said, oh yeah, I've given you authority for that. But he says in verse 20, he says, notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. Right? That the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So it means that Jesus is saying, there is that one thing that every time you think about it, you can rejoice. Every other thing might not inspire you to rejoice. But what am I saying? If January starts, next year January is coming again. Before you know it, now we're in the hour of the last minute. People are now beginning to do God of the 12th hour, the 13th hour, all those expectations. Beautiful, it's always good to have expectations. But I'm saying to you, let's assume in your crossover service, you get to your crossover service, and all the things you said you would achieve in 2023, you've not done it. You know you can get into depression. Yeah. You're laughing. It is true now. Yes, sir. We are not in October. Yeah? This year, they say, this year you will drive Range Rover. You've not even gone towards the range of... You've not even gone towards the range. Talk more of the Rover. Do you understand? So, he said, this year is your year. Yeah? So if they tell you this year is your year, October is already here, November is next 2 weeks. Ha. Now what do we have to do? That's why as a pastor, don't promise people what God doesn't promise people. That's why you never say, I've never in my life. Never. Right? I expect that every year should go well for us. But to say that people will not have challenges in a year is to lie to people. You know, there's some things you experienced this year, you didn't project it in January. Yeah. But what is the most important thing? That God is always with you. So if you are rejoicing because you bought a car, it takes one very silly driver. Right? It takes one very silly driver to hit you and to hit your car.
Are we together? And the car has become cars.
But you know, if you are rejoicing in the fact that your names are written in heaven forever, when you buy a car, you rejoice. When they hit your car, you rejoice. Do you get it now? When you buy a house, you rejoice. When they say the price has gone up, what do? You rejoice. When they increase your salary, what happens? There's nothing wrong in getting happy when you get a new job.
No.
I'm not saying besides. I'm not saying when you get a new job, I'm not going to rejoice in this job because you know about it and artists.
Yeah, you see what you're saying.
Yeah, even before you would think about whether you rejoice or not, you already said, yeah! When you see the email and you don't see the usual unfortunately. Some of you have experienced the word unfortunately so much that you know how to spell it backwards. I remember one of my friends, he did a job interview. Those very interested people now message him and say, this first of the congratulations. Is it congratulations you did when an interview, you got did when interview, you were impressed. Unfortunately, we don't have slots for you. I say, which kind of hope is that one? What can you first say congratulations first? And you know some people, after they say congratulations, they say, yes, glory! And they drop the phone down. And they come and see. It's not where you are showing somebody else, you're not together, and unfortunately. Well, you are not showing your rejoicing partner. Baby? Did you not see this one? So, no. I just what I see. I see by the spirit. So, if you allow those things to be the ones that determine how joyful you are, things will not, you will not, let me tell you for free. I won't lie to you. Yeah? I want you to have good news every day. I look forward to having good news every day. But life is so like things just happen. You just hear this person just jumps down. This person is like life is just so, it's just the way it is. Eh? That is why we have that which is eternal to keep us going. Yeah? So when you hear somebody from you maybe you lose a family member. Right? What keeps you going is the fact that wow, you're going to see him on the resurrection morning. So when a Christian dies, we don't lose them. We don't lose them. They only just left the mortal body. There's something called resurrection. Paul says, if we don't believe. See, when you put all the men together and talk about miserability, we are the chief. We are of all men most miserable if there's no resurrection. It means that we are waiting our time here. If a saint dies and doesn't resurrect again, it means we are literally waiting our time. The day I find that out, I stop being a pastor. Because I'm wasting my time. I'll go and get 5 jobs. Let me just be earning the money. Let me just be building mansion. See, they say there's no mansion in heaven. Let me buy. I'm in the night. That's it. Then I want to have breakfast. I go to this one. The day I find out that resurrection is not certain for the believer, there's no point being here. We are wasting money. You don't understand? Like, how should I come and be shouting like this? See, all my veins are coming out though. Someone will now tell me that after all this one, because I did not greet somebody, or because I did not say the truth in full, or something like that, you say, you are going to perish. How? That's so miserable. So Paul will say, if there is no resurrection from the dead, we are of all men most miserable. So Paul is saying, I put my life on the line. I am certain there is a resurrection. That's why, you know, in the book of Thessalonians will say, comfort ye. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5. So, when we lose people, for instance, I don't know why I'm talking about this today. But when we lose people, for instance, well, is it painful? Yes. Can it be painful? Yes. But what don't we do? Or what do we do? Look at 1 Thessalonians 4. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are what? Asleep. Are you there? 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. Let me allow you to get there quickly. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are what? Asleep. What is asleep there? Dead. Asleep there is not taking a nap. He says, I will not have you to be ignorant concerning them which are asleep. that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Look at verse 14. Even so then, also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So it means that you see how Jesus rose from the dead. That is the same way we all will rise from the dead. Are we together? He says, look at it again. He says, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Look at verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Do you understand that? He's saying those that will be, you know that thing you say trumpets? Yeah? Those that are going to be alive on the resurrection morning, right? In the mortal body, right? He says, because we are alive, that doesn't prevent those who are asleep. You see, so Paul uses the word asleep for those who are dead. Because why? A man who is dead in Christ is really asleep, for he will rise again. Did you get that? So look at what it says in the next verse. It says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Look at verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. He's not saying that God will come in from the sky and then we shout, yeah, 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 yeah. No. Eh? The Lord shall descend from heaven from the shout with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. He says trump of God. Are we here? Right? And the dead in Christ shall what? Rise first. Now look at verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall what? Be caught up together with them in the clouds. See, the clouds there will not be the sky. Are we together? The cloud there will not be the sky. Are we together? The cloud there will not be the sky. The cloud there will have a similar interpretation and meaning toward heaven. So he's not saying that all of us are now, hey, we'll now suspend in the cloud. And no, that's not what he's teaching. Yeah? That's another day. He says, we shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Yeah? So the air will not be breeze. Do you understand that? The air, we talk about the cloud, we talk about the heaven, we talk about the supernatural world. Yeah? So the heavens and the earth is not, Bible doesn't teach heaven as earth fundamentally as the sky and where man is. Are we together? So God created the heavens and the earth. He's not saying that God created the sky for himself, then here for man. No. Planes go through the sky. Rockets go past the sky. And so is it that when rockets are going past the sky, they are piercing through the stomach? No, now. Yeah? You get the point? Yeah? Anyways, that's funny. Right? So it says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now look at verse 18 together. Let's read verse 18 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Wherefore, comfort one another with this word. So Paul teaches that when we talk about the dead in Christ, it should bring comfort. You get that? When we talk about the dead in Christ, it should bring comfort. Why? Because the example of Jesus dying and resurrecting is the example of the believer, right? That though asleep, will what? Come alive by his mighty power. So if you look at John 10, quickly, let me Luke 10 rather, where you were before. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Look at Luke 10, where we were before. Let me wrap up here now. We have read verse 20. It says, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Verse 20. Look at verse 21. In that hour, Jesus what? Rejoice in the spirit. Now, that word there, rejoice, is the word in the Greek that is agalio. Right? And it's a word that, you know, some scholars say is a coordinated movement. Some scholars say is like a movement that combines hopping. So everyone look at me. Everyone look at me. It's a movement that combines hopping, then turning around, that is spinning, then what? Running. Are we together? Are we together? So what did Jesus do? He did a combination of, so Jesus hopped, he spin, is this spin or span? You get the point. He shall rolled around. He turned around and he ran. So when you are in church and the minister says, rejoice, what are you supposed to do? What happened? You jump, you spin, you run, you say, glory! Yeah? You see, there's something called acting mad, but you're not mad. You see, most of the things I do in the spirit, when I watch I don't even like watching myself. You see, when I'm laughing in the spirit, and I don't think I've watched myself before, I don't know what I look like. I don't need to know. Eh? So don't think about what you look like. Think about you are paying attention to the word. I can tell you,
I don't, once I just see myself laughing in the spirit, I see anybody that catches the video, I just skip. Eh? Because more often than not, I don't like what I look like. My face looks disfigured. Oh, people are laughing. That's what you see. I see. My face looks disfigured. My mouth, my bend like this. I don't, but that's not what's on my mind. See, the reason why we don't rejoice and let loose like that and when we come together is because somewhere in our mind, we think we need to be up, prime, and what?
Proper.
Yeah. You know, people think that church is just, you know, just carry a Bible and just, everybody's just quiet and let's just play hymns and strings. Oh, glory. See, there's time for hymns and strings. And there's time for rejoicing at the work of Christ. So, when you see people jump up and rejoice and say, glory, that's not the time to sit down. And you're saying, what are they doing? What are they doing? What are they doing? No, you remember that in the spirit. Eh? What should that mean to you? That's why I always tell you, don't always close your eyes. Eh? You know, when you see me laugh in the spirit, what should that mean to you? It is that if he can laugh in the spirit, I can laugh in the spirit. Are you saying together? When you see me rejoice in the spirit, what should that mean to you? The same spirit in him or her, making him or her to rejoice, is the same spirit in me. So if she can rejoice, I can rejoice. So if let's assume you don't know how to laugh. Just look at another person, you will laugh. Are we together? Yeah? Just, you see, is that contagious? But sometimes, you see why some people don't laugh? They close their eyes. Say, laugh in the spirit. Some people like this. Father will thank you. Father will thank you. What I got to do is, Father will thank you. We finish saying, Father will thank you. We pass, Father will thank you. They say, laugh. You say, Father will thank you. We just keep going. We adore you. Your name is the only. Like, no. We say, laugh. Open your eyes. Eh? When you see another do it, you know you can do it. So when you see me, for instance, flow in the things of the spirit, what should come to your mind? Ah, the same spirit in my pastor is the same spirit in me. So if my pastor can do it, I really can do it. Eh? So if your pastor, for instance, expresses anything in the spirit, you open your eyes. Yeah? You open your eyes. You see, 2-3 people gave tongues and interpretation here today. Why did they do tongue interpretation that way? They've seen me do it that way. It's simple. So when they say come and speak in tongues and interpret it, how will you do it? When I'm speaking in tongues and interpreting, when you are putting tongues under your breath, you open your eyes. Yeah? Why will I close my eyes at that point? To what? To avoid distraction. Why do you close your eyes? You see, when they say pray and say close your eyes, yeah, it's not so that you understand? So people say, so closing your eyes is to avoid distraction. Do you understand? Right? We are praying. Eh? And that's why you see, we are praying, for instance, somebody's handkerchief is on the floor. It's because your eyes are open. You are looking for what's where. Is it good to help? Yes, it's good to help. But you are looking for what can I really just do to while away time? You know, no. You see, you open your eyes once in a while, when you feel you close it. Then you continue praying in tongues. Why must you be the one to pick my Bible when it falls? And when the book falls, you pick it. When the act to fall, only you. Are you a picker? Are you a usher? Do you understand? So when we come together, there's a way we behave. You see, the Bible says your pastor, for instance, is an example for you. Right? So you see the way I behave. You see, when I sing on the keyboard, I don't sing and keep my mouth shut. I don't play, rather. I keep my mouth shut. What do? I sing, I play. Sometimes I lift my hands while playing.